Okay, we'll call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that the time is currently 9:42 a.m. on Friday, April 26th, 2024. Present today, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Hannon, Representative Galvin, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Kronk, Representative Ortiz, Representative Cologne, myself, Co-Chair Foster. We've got a couple of folks who stepped out but should be back. Just a reminder, if folks can mute their cell phones. And so we have four bills before us today, and that is House Bill 257, that's Cook Inlet Seismic Data. This bill was rolled from the previous day, so we'll review the fiscal note, and there are no amendments, and so if it's the will of the committee, we'll move that. Next is House Bill 174, that's State Fund Fiduciary Duty for Social and Political Unrest. We'll review the fiscal note and take public testimony. We've got HB 169, Fisheries Rehabilitation Permit and Projects. We'll review the fiscal note, take public testimony of that as well. Also have with us Representative Co-Chair Johnson. And then finally, we've got HB 232, Disabled Veterans Retirement Benefits. And that is just a introductory hearing. And so first up, we have House Bill 257, Cook Inlet Seismic Data. I'd like to invite Representative McKay, as well as his staff, Mr. Trevor Jepson. If you could put yourselves on the record and just remind us, give a brief recap, remind us about the bill.
Thank you, Co-Chair Foster. My name is Tom McKay, a representative for District 15. Chairman of House Resources, and my Chief of Staff, Trevor Jepson, is with me today. We very much appreciate your review of House Bill 257, Seismic Data in Cook Inlet. The reason we brought this bill forward was to make available seismic data that's owned by the state, make it available to scientists and independent consultants in the oil and gas industry at no cost, and we're hopeful, and we've had interest expressed by such professionals that they would like to make it simple. They would like to evaluate such data in order to locate future prospects for oil and gas in Cook Inlet, which is something that you've been hearing a lot about. And the fiscal note is because the DNR would ordinarily sell this data at a minimum cost, and we need to compensate the department for that loss of revenue. That's why there's a fiscal note attached. So we're just optimistic that this is just another step in our series of bills that could help secure more oil and gas reserves in Cook Inlet that could be used to heat our homes and keep our lights on. So that's my brief recap. I know you have a time constraint, and we're just going to wait for questions then. And thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. And maybe we'll go straight over to the fiscal note, and then we'll go into questions. So with that, we've got one fiscal note, as was mentioned. That's from the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. Online, we have Director Melanie Worden. And Ms. Worden, if you can put yourself on the record.
Hello, this is Melanie Worden. For the record, I am Director, Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. Through the chair, I will cover our fiscal note here. The just briefly, the OMB component number is 1031, control code IFZVP, and publication date 2/14/2024. As Representative McKay said, that this fiscal note is a fund source switch, and so I will briefly go over it here. The fiscal note was updated, and it now properly reflects a fund source swap of $35,000 from code 1005, designated general funds, to 1004 Unrestricted General Fund. And briefly, this House Bill 257 amends Alaska Statute 41.08.020, and it directs our division to make available to a qualified person without charge seismic survey and other geophysical data for land inside the Cook Inlet sedimentary basin, unless the data is required to be kept confidential by statute, or if it's on private land and we don't have permission to give it away. Currently, our general fund program receipt revenue from annual Cook Inlet seismic data sales supports operating costs for our division. The general fund program receipt collections are utilized to administer system maintenance and management and distribution of the seismic data, and that's currently funded through the limited receipts associated with the sales of the seismic data. Implementing House Bill 257 would render the Cook Inlet portion, which is less than 5% of our total statewide seismic sales revenue, no longer available to the division. We estimated or calculated a revenue loss of $35,000, and if the Cook Inlet seismic data is distributed without cost, the operating cost to manage and publish this data and make it publicly available will have to be supported by unrestricted general funds. That is all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go to questions. We've got one from Representative Hannon, Representative Ortiz.
And thank you, Chair Foster. And I'm not sure if it's a question for you or not, but it's how the fiscal notes work. The department is estimating there could be as much as a $35,000 loss. The fiscal note gives them UGF to replace that. What if there isn't a $35,000 loss? What if only one company and $5,000 expense for the data goes out? Does the department still get $35,000, or is it in relation to the support of the cost?
That's a good question. Maybe Mr. Trevor Jepson might know, and if not, we could check with Ms. Weirden. Mr. Jepson?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to Representative McKay. Representative Hannon, through the chair, that's an excellent question. We also view it as an estimate, as the state's only made slightly under $27,000 over the last five fiscal years from the Cook Inlet seismic sales. The DNR is already administering this program to the tune of millions of dollars between Cook Inlet and the North Slope. We don't see a $35,000 drop just based on recent Cook Inlet data sales.
Ms. Weirden? Ms. Weirden, are you able to also answer the question?
Okay. Through the chair, our estimate comes from both the historical data, but we are also expecting a transfer of data from Cook Inlet, from the Division of Oil and Gas, to our division for future sales. And so this was also part of the calculation that we had.
Ms. Representative Hannon, do you have a follow-up on that?
Thank you, Chair Foster, and I guess it's more of a sort of a statement of concern, and I am not opposed to the bill, but it seemed to me, and I think that maybe I'd heard it from Mr. Jepson, if we've only been collecting on average $5,000, $6,000 a year for revenue for this data, but we're going to give the department $35,000 a year to give away the data, that seems like a big leap to me. I have no problem compensating for the lost revenue, but I'm concerned that we're giving them, because it's data they already manage, we're just no longer going to charge to share it, and I want to just make sure that we're not giving them additional revenues to do other things that we weren't intending.
Ms. Weirden, can you, I don't know if you're able to answer that part of the question, maybe Representative Johnson, are you thinking you might know the answer to that?
Well, if we give extra, yes.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. If there's a little bit of extra revenue, certainly $35,000 is about the tiniest of our little fiscal notes that we could have. But if there's a little extra revenue there, it'll just lapse at the end of the year. Like a number of things, we want to make sure that we don't short them $35,000. I'm assuming that's why they put that in there.
I am curious, and maybe Mr. Brody Anderson, can you maybe put yourself on the record? And so the question is, are they making money off of this possible fund swap? If they're getting $35,000, but they only lose $5,000, for example, do you make $30,000, Mr. Anderson?
Thank you for the record. For the record, Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Neil Foster. If this bill was to pass with the fiscal note as written, when the bill goes into effect, this fund source swap would occur regardless of what the estimated loss would be. There is an ability for conference committee at a later date, if this is part of the fiscal note package, to possibly amend that. But currently, as speaking, if this bill passes and gets across both bodies, then the fund source swap will definitely occur. They will take $35,000 out of their general fund program receipts, and then $35,000 will be added to their general fund as currently written.
And as Co-Chair Johnson states, it's also possible that if they don't use the money, then it would lapse, is Mr. Anderson?
To the Chair, that would be correct. Any additional DNR funds that are UGF that are unspent at the end of their fiscal year lapses back to the general fund.
Representative Hannon?
Thank you, Chair Foster. And I guess I understand that. But if our intention by doing this with some other Cook Inlet focused ones is to get more development of gas in Cook Inlet. But as we have frequently said about departments, if this isn't going into a line item in their budget that is Cook Inlet gas, it's going into the receipts for all seismic work. And if it's we've got contemplating releasing all royalty on Cook Inlet, and if it doesn't develop any new gas, yet we've given away a little bit of revenue here and all of the royalty there, to what end? I guess I'd be more interested in seeing you folks at conference, pretty sure that's not me, look at this. And this is one of the places where I could see us giving them a little bit of money in the fiscal note and saying, in the supplemental, if you've had demand at a much higher rate because we've created the demand to go out and look at Cook Inlet, let's give you some in the supplemental to make sure that we're getting that data out there to every contractor who wants to explore. And I know it's a little bit of money, but this for a program that currently it's data that we currently are by statute directed to charge for, and now we're saying to the department, you're going to give it away for free no matter what the cost. And
Thank you. I would also like to note that Representative Stapp joined us earlier. I do want to check in with the sponsor, either Representative McKay or Mr. Jepson. Representative McKay?
Well, through the chair and Representative Hannon, to be perfectly honest, my main thrust was to get the data out there so that we can hopefully find new oil and gas resources. I was not concerned so much with the internal accounting within the DNR. I will say that I'm not an expert in how they move funds around. I was hoping that the DNR could explain that. I'm more concerned with getting the data out there so we can find more oil and gas to benefit Alaskans. So, Mr. Jepson?
For the record, Trevor Jepson, staff to represent McKay. And our I guess, slight disagreement based on current historical sales of the last 5 years of $27,000 roughly total. That being said, in conversations with the DNR, they do believe that some more Cook Inlet data that might be more valuable is coming up to that 10-year period that they would lapse into state hands. So potentially maybe the DNR could expound on that and what particular data sets they see as valuable that's going to become available.
Mr. Anderson?
Thank you. Co-Chair Foster. A question that the committee might want to direct towards Ms. Wearden is the fact that the $35,000 will go to the allocation of geological and geophysical surveys. And so they do above and beyond the work of the seismic data down at Cook Inlet. They also run, a question might be like, if this $35,000 goes in, what would be, what's inclusive in that allocation? What would they be spending their money on for other things that they would be able to spend this funds on?
Ms. Wearden?
For the record, this is Melanie Wearden, Director, Division of Geological and Geophysical Surveys. For our use or of the funds, it's to administer the servers and system maintenance, data management and upgrades, and all the staff time associated with that, and for the distribution of the seismic data itself.
Okay. Do we have any further? I don't see anybody jumping at this. Let's go to the next question. I suppose we can chew on that a little more. Representative Ortiz and then Representative, I think, Johnson, you earlier, you had your, okay, Representative Ortiz.
Mr. Chair, we're running out of time. I'll back off.
Okay. Representative, so I don't see any further questions. I don't know that we have total resolution on it, but at the same time, it's a fairly small amount. It would be great if there's some contingency language in there or something, but I don't know that. Representative McKay, do you have any thoughts? we could move on and
yeah, got to go over Chair, to the Senate. Mr. Chair, we knew from the beginning this was a little bit confusing. We're just trying to make an estimate of how much money they might be losing, and so we put that in the fiscal note.
I think one thing that maybe could be done is if we want to just move this out, knowing that it's got to go over to the Senate, it's a small, minor fix, I think, and that could be done over there, and then I think that would work for me if that's okay with everyone else. So, but it's a good point raised, Representative Hannon, something to look into a little bit more. So if it is the will of the committee, I would entertain a motion, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Chair Foster. I move House Bill 257-33-LS1011/B as amended from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Okay, thank you. And actually, we didn't receive any we didn't receive any amendments, correct? Okay. So with that, if there is no objection, House Bill 257, which is 33-LS1011/B, not amended, moves from the House Finance Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. So with that, if folks can sign the yellow paper before we head out, we're going to recess till this afternoon at the call of the chair. After we get off the floor, if we get off early, then we'll come right back in. And if not, we'll be back around 1:30, I would imagine. So with that, House Finance is recessed at 10 a.m.